This episode is brought to you by DistroKid.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Can I get a break? No, 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 no.
Hey, everybody. It's Chris Fafalius. I figured it was about time that we threw another old episode of The After Party out here on the main Chris to Makes a Podcast feed. And considering that Stephen Egerton was our guest this week, I thought that this was a good one to share with everybody. In this episode, Chris and I talk about our favorite Descendants songs, which, yes, is hard to narrow down, but I think we did a good job. We released this episode to our supporting cast back on May 9th of this year to coincide with when Milo was on the podcast to talk about the song Hope. Go back and listen to that episode if you haven't. It's great. And at the risk of beating a dead horse here, joining our supporting cast at ChrisToMakes.com is the best way you can support Chris to Makes a Podcast if you enjoy the show and want to keep it going. You'll get weekly bonus episodes and a giant back catalog of episodes like this one you're about to hear for the cost of a nice cup of coffee per month. Supporting cast is basically just like a Patreon, and the bonus episodes will be automatically pushed to wherever you listen to podcasts when they come out. It's convenient, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's inexpensive, and it helps us keep going with the podcast. What more could you ask for? Just head to chrisdemakes.com. And speaking of educational, I just used the expression beating a dead horse, and I thought to myself, where did that come from? Well, in case you're wondering the same thing, the origin of the expression beat a dead horse comes from the mid-19th century, when the practice of beating horses to make them go faster was often viewed as acceptable. That's pretty mean. But anyway, to beat a dead horse would be pointless, as it wouldn't be able to go anywhere. An early written form of this popular idiom is found in an 1859 issue of the London paper Watchman and Wesleyan Advertiser, and it says, "It was notorious that Mr. Bright was dissatisfied with his winter reform campaign, and rumors said that he had given up on his effort with the exclamation that it was like flogging a dead horse." Okay, I've talked enough here. I hope you all enjoy this episode of The After Party. Here we go. From May 9th, 2022, this is the episode titled Favorite Descendants Songs.
Welcome to The After Party. Ready, set, let's go. Welcome to The After Party, the show after the show. Learn a little something new. Join us for the ride. Chris and Chris want all of you to know. The After Party's where it's at. The show after the show.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to another After Party. Chris and I thought, since this week's guest was Milo from the Descendants, that we would each pick our top five Descendants songs, which was very, very difficult, Chris.
Yeah, it's tough to narrow it down. I just literally about 10 minutes ago got off the treadmill. I ran for an hour and listened to Descendants the whole time. I listened to all of Sommery. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's not a real word. Did you know it's not a real word?
Well, no. I think it's a play on words of summary, like a summary of a chapter in a book. But in this instance, it's spelled S-O-M-E-R-Y. I'd say summary.
Right. But I don't get the joke. Is there a pun there or something? It doesn't really matter.
Well, yeah. I think it's a summation. It's kind of like their greatest hits, that record. And you know, they've always had wacky spelling, so who knows?
Yeah. I don't get it. We'll have to figure out what that means. But yeah, man, this was not easy to narrow down. And you and I didn't exchange lists beforehand, so I'm interested to see if we pick any of the same songs.
Yeah, for sure. Well, a couple things here. You know, the song that we talked about this week, Hope, I love the song, but you might find this surprising, Chris, it's not on my list in the top five.
It is also not on my list. I love that song. You know, I feel silly saying this in a way, but my first exposure to that song was Sublime. I'll admit it right now. I was young,
right,
and I was a person who had to go back and discover the Descendants as a teenager. So I knew the Sublime. I love the Sublime version. I love the song in general, but yeah, it didn't make my top five.
Yeah, but it was arguably, as we were researching for the episode, it was Milo's top performing song on the Spotify's and the YouTubes. It had the most listens, so that's what we went with. It ended up being a great story and a great episode, so I think we picked the right song. But just want to talk a little bit. You know, the first record, Milo Goes to College from '82, track three, I'm Not a Loser. Frank Navetta wrote that. Track nine, Suburban Home, is awesome. Tony Lombardo wrote that one. Hope, Milo wrote that. And the 14th track, Bikeage, Bill Stevenson wrote that one. But nothing off the first record is a favorite. The second record, I Don't Want to Grow Up, came out in 1985. And the lead-off track was the song Descendants, kind of like it's like a theme song for the band. It's like a gang song. I've always loved it. And that one's credited to Milo, Ray Cooper, Bill, and Tony Lombardo. The second track on the record, I Don't Want to Grow Up, Tony Lombardo wrote that. It's a classic. Number 13 on the album, Good Good Things by Bill. Love that song. But when we get to Enjoy from 1986, track five, Sour Grapes, written by Milo and Doug Carrion. Awesome song. I was kind of toying with talking about, it was either that or Hope. I love Sour Grapes. But my first pick, Chris, is from Enjoy. It is Get the Time, written by Milo, which I just love this song. Well, I'll make it happen someday. Yeah, I'll make it happen someday. I'll make it happen. I'll make it happen someday. Yeah, there's something about this one. The lyric, it just takes me back to when I first heard Descendants. This is probably one of the first songs I heard by them, and it just brings up great memories. And a number of years later, Social Distortion wrote a song. I think it was on their greatest hits record, only called Far Behind. I love this song so much, but it is a direct lift of the riff from Get the Time.
People are going to have to make their decisions. I obviously put clips of both of them in here. So you make the call. Did Social D lift the riff?
Well, I think they did, Chris. And we played with Social Distortion in Australia some years ago. I'm backstage hanging out, and Johnny Two Bags comes up to me and says, "Hey, man, just want to let you know that my sister's a huge fan of your band. Can I get, you know, this shirt autographed?" He had bought a Less Than Jake shirt. I'm like completely freaking out. You know, like, Social D is one of my favorite bands, and then I say to him, "Hey, man," I'm fanboying at this point. "Are you gonna play Far Behind?" And he's like, "No, man." He goes, "Mike won't play that because it's a direct rip off of Get the Time from the Descendants."
Wow. So you got confirmation.
I did. But what's first on your list?
It's my favorite Descendants album. You skipped right over it. But my first pick, I'll go with one that you mentioned, Good Good Things.
Awesome.
From the I Don't Want to Grow Up album. Man, there's so many good songs on that album. We'll get into that as we move further. But something about this song, it's punk rock, but it's also very 80s. And I was very, very young when this song came out. Too young to even know what was going on. But this takes me back, and it makes me feel like I'm in like an 80s movie on a skateboard or something. There's just something about it. It's a love song, but it's also punk rock, but it's also of the time or something. I just love it. It puts me in such a cool mood.
You know, when we were on the Cafe Nation tour with Descendants, that when they played this thing, and I was sitting there listening to this song, and I'm saying, you know, and to your point, it almost feels like this 80s thing, but it almost sounds like it could have been like a 70s, like maybe yacht rock song that they kind of made into a punk rock song. It just has that, I don't know, that poppiness to it. And Bill's always been a pop you know, pop guy. He wears it on his sleeve, and I love Good Good Things as well. It's a great song.
The way those verses are just so bass heavy, you know, and there's just so much dynamics for a young punk rock band. They have a lot. They show a lot of range on that song, I think.
Yeah, no. And again, getting to watch them, I've talked about this before, getting to watch them on that tour was just incredible every night, and hearing these songs and seeing people 10 years after the fact that they had been recorded, more than 10 years, just losing their minds. It was awesome.
Well, what do you got next on your list, Chris?
Well, the next record was entitled All, which, as some of you may know, All became the band after Descendants, which was basically Stefan Egerton on guitar, Carl Alvarez on bass, and Bill Stevenson on the drums. And they had a couple different singers in All. But the All record from 87 was the first album with Carl and Stefan. Coolidge is a classic that Carl wrote, the second track on the record. Van is awesome. Milo wrote the lyrics to Van, and Stefan and Carl wrote the music. And if you haven't heard Van, go listen to it. It's hilarious, and it encompasses everything about touring life, you know, and living out of a van. It's your transportation. It also doubles as your hotel room and everything else. But my second favorite Descendants song is off this record. I absolutely love this song. It's a Bill track. Probably one of the first songs I heard by them and instantly fell in love with it, Clean Sheets.
It's also on my list. it's one of my five. I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a legit Descendants fan who's not going to put that song in their five.
Yeah, that song is... you know, I've said this before on the show. Could you imagine if this band at the height of their popularity, or, you know, like if when punk first broke out, Green Day and Dookie, if this would have been the follow-up single to Basket Case, if they would have recorded Clean Sheets. It's just, it's a perfect little pop punk masterpiece. It's awesome.
Dude, yeah, it's so, so good. So, so relatable. It's just, it tends to be the ones I pick for the most part tend to be the love songs.
Yeah, I know. You know, just some of the lyrics in this song are just, you know, they're so relatable. And yeah, Bill is the master at writing these gut-wrenching love songs, you know, and he's able to convey what he's feeling. But what he's feeling is what we've all kind of felt before, if you've had, you know, any feelings of love in a relationship before.
Right. And speaking of that, Chris.
Uh-oh.
For my next pick, dude, I'm still stuck back on I Don't Want to Grow Up. I don't want to grow up past that album because I had to put, and I have to believe this is another fan favorite, I put Silly Girl.
Ah, I didn't write that down here in my notes. Yeah, Silly Girl's awesome. So good.
Yeah, it's just another one where, just like with Good Good Things, it makes me feel like I'm in the 80s, and it's just this perfect love song. That melody, Silly Girl, I'm Begging You, and like the harmonies on those, it's just it's a perfect, you know, if we're talking about the grandfathers or forefathers of pop punk music, that is just the perfect blueprint for a pop punk song, I think.
It is, and I kind of touched on it in the main episode with Milo, but, you know, these guys were just, they were kids. They were writing these songs. They never, ever in a million years thought that they would have legs, that they would, that he'd be talking about, you know, hope 40 years later, that people would still be, you know, singing Silly Girl back to them all these years later. And for them to be... I guess the word's like cutting edge and so far ahead of the curve. They preceded the whole pop punk movement by 12 to 15 years. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's really, really awesome. And the songs stand the test of time. And the recording of them, the sort of whatever you want to call it, lo-fi sounding recording of it, it just adds to the charm of it. It adds to the warmth of these songs. If you recorded these same songs with the technology that you have now, I feel like some of the spirit would be lost.
Absolutely. And I think the same argument could be made in reverse with their later material. Some of the songs I'm going to pick, you know, this is a band to me that I still love the stuff that they're putting out. Yeah, the old stuff is the classics. I love every song we've talked about today. I love almost equally. It's hard to pick. Like I said, it was really hard to narrow this down to five. But I feel like their newer stuff, if it was recorded analog and really punk rock, that it wouldn't have the same charm. So it's really cool to see the evolution in the different eras of the band.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about more recent stuff, now it's like everybody's individual parts. Bill's drums, Carl's bass, Stefan's guitar, everything is so audible. You hear it so clearly, and everybody, to quote you, Chris, is a ripper. And you're hearing like the best tones and sounds of everything. So yeah, to your point, with the newer songs, part of the charm is just how amazing everything sounds.
Right. And, you know, I talked to these guys, and I've asked them individually before, you know, what made you guys have that discipline? Is because they told me, all of them, they used to rehearse 12-14 hours a day.
Wow.
For months at a time. They just eat, you know, breathe and slept being in this band, and they wanted to be masters. You know, their slogan, go for all, you know, going for all to them was everything in life. No matter what you set out to do, if you're going to go build a sandcastle, make it the best sandcastle on the beach. If you're going to be a doctor, be the best doctor. If you're going to be a bass player, a guitar player, a drummer, a singer, in this instance, be the best. And these guys, I told you, and you've heard me say it before to the listeners, I've sat and stared at Bill playing as recent as a couple years ago, trying to see if he misses a cymbal hit or see if Carl misses a bass run. These guys are flawless. My third pick, Chris, comes from Everything Sucks from 1996, their first release on Epitaph Records. This was their comeback album. This album is like their greatest hits.
Yeah.
You know, there's like two songs that are a little, I don't know, I don't want to say I don't care for them, but I don't like them as much as the rest. But the whole album, the first track, Everything Sucks, written solely by Stefan. Amazing song. I think we have to get Stefan on to talk about that one at some point. I'm the One, track number two. Carl wrote that one. That was the first single and video from the album. I love I'm the One. It is so, so awesome. But I went with a song that I released a cover with some guys a couple years ago. They had asked me to sing. They're kind of a covers band. They reach out to different musicians, different singers of bands. And I sang I Won't Let Me, another Carl song from Everything Sucks. I Won't Let Me is my third pick for favorite Descendants songs.
If there's no lying, if there's no crying,
it's also on my list.
Is it?
It is. It is. And, you know, I was having a hard time choosing, you know, I didn't want to do more than two from this album. And yeah, I'm the One is a classic. I think my only reason I didn't pick I'm the One is just because, I don't know, I can't really relate to the subject matter of that one. I feel like anytime I've been in that position where, you know, I felt like, oh, I like this person, but they don't like me, I'm just like, oh, whatever, screw them, and move on. I've never really, there's probably exceptions, but never really want to be that, like, oh, puppy dog, whatever. So I didn't relate to that one as much, but I Won't Let Me is the jam, man. That is, geez, the melodies, the chorus of that song. Maybe the fact that you did that cover of it, like, renewed the love of that song for me, because, yeah, that was like year and a half ago or so,
yeah,
that you did that. And I was like, damn, that's a good song. So that may have helped in bumping that song up for me. But man, I love it.
If you guys haven't heard it, we'll play a little clip here for you.
But while I am away, don't worry. Just keep your faith in me and have no doubt. Cause I know right from wrong, and I know I can be strong.
Hey, everybody. We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, but we'll be right back with part two of this very fun Descendants-themed episode of The After Party.
Looking to elevate your music career? DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that enables musicians to distribute their music to online stores and streaming platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Tidal, and many more. DistroKid collects earnings and payments, sending them to you, the artist. With DistroKid, artists unlock a world of possibilities, from easily paying collaborators with splits to securing your music with DistroLock. DistroKid covers all bases. Plus, you can promote your releases with HyperFollow and create eye-catching visuals with a Spotify Canvas generator, all for free. But that's not all. Introducing the DistroKid app, now available on iOS and Android. Artists can manage their releases, view streaming stats, and withdraw earnings, all from the palm of their hand. And for those looking to perfect their sound, check out Mixia. With its simple interface and customizable mastering options, artists can make their music sound polished and professional within minutes. And don't forget about Instant Share, DistroKid's newest feature. Share large files securely with collaborators, producers, and more, ensuring your music streams at the highest quality. Ready to take your music to the next level? Download the DistroKid app and explore their suite of tools today. Plus, listeners can enjoy 30% off their first year by visiting distrokid.com/VIP/demakes. That's distrokid.com/VIP/demakes.
It's you and me, nobody else allowed.
And now, back to our special sneak preview of the After Party podcast. Yeah, man, so you picked two of my songs already in your choices. So I'm interested to see what you think. This is my last pick because I had three picks and you picked two of mine. So this was the last one. I mean, I could come up with more, but whatever.
Man,
it's fine.
What a bummer. I kind of ruined this for you, Chris.
No.
If you went first, I guess the same thing would have happened to me, right?
I just think it means that we both have great taste. This is an outlier in the Descendants catalog. It's a lot different than a lot of their other songs. But dude, I picked When I Get Old.
Well, I still kiss my girlfriend and try to grab her ass. Well, I still hate the cops and have no class. Well, all my grown-up friends say they've seen it all before. They say they act our age and I'm immature.
The lyrics of that song, and I know, you know, here and there it's a little bit silly or whatever, but it's so heartfelt, and the message of like feeling young even when you're old or something. I love the message of this song, and I love the feel of this song. I think it's like really different for the Descendants. It's almost like a ballad. Would you consider it a ballad? Yeah, right?
A ballad in punk rock terms, sure. If a soft rock or yacht rock person heard it, it definitely wouldn't be a ballad to them. Yeah, but in the punk rock world, I think it qualifies as a ballad. I love this song. And I remember being on the tour with them back in the day, and they'd play this. And, you know, they had about 10 years on Less Than Jake age-wise. And I would just sit there and like be like, God, these guys think they're old? They're not old. Are they talking about now? Or are they talking about when they really get old, when they're 70, you know? And to see them play this song to this date is so cool. Just such a feel-good song.
It is, and I'll tell you what, man. I don't think that as you get older, you got to pretend that you're younger than you are or anything. But I also think that you're only here once, and you got to live your life to the fullest and enjoy it. And that's what this song makes me feel. I'm not a big fan of people sitting around and complaining about their ailments and talking about how old they are. That tends to annoy me because I think that it, in the grand scheme of things, you're only as old as you feel.
Yeah.
And I know there are certain things you can't help. If you feel really bad because of an ailment, yeah, that's different. But I feel like there's a lot of people who are in good health and good shape that like to bitch and moan about about getting older when, you know, there's a lot of good things just about being alive. And I think that is the theme of this song. I think that's how this song makes me feel.
Sure. You know, We is another song from this album, Rotting Out, Sick of Me.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, just like I said, in my notes, I had written, you know, this whole album is kind of a greatest hits. There's really not a bad song at it. And for them to come back after, I say come back, you know, all continued on after Descendants. They were out touring and playing all those years. Albeit Milo wasn't there with different singers, but the family unit of Bill Carl and Stefan was still intact, and they were playing. So yeah, it's a comeback album, but these guys never really stopped. But what I was making mention of is that I could not believe when I heard this record in 96. I was absolutely floored when I heard it, because sonically, they had Andy Wallace mix the album. And by this point, Stefan and Bill, they knew what they were doing around the studio. The blasting room, that's where they recorded it. They had Top Gear. They knew what they were doing. Andy mixed it, hit a home run with this thing. But just the musicianship, everything. And again, all never stopped. The band was out there steamrolling town to town. They were on the road 8, 9, 10 months a year doing their thing, honing their craft, getting better as musicians, as if they could get any better, these guys. And yeah, when I first heard this record, I was blown away. Had no idea it was coming out. Had no idea that they were getting back together. We, Les and Jake, had pulled into New York, and we stayed with a dear friend of ours named Matt Rosenberg. Hi, Matt, if you're listening. And Matt let us stay at his apartment in the city, and we're hanging out after the show, and he said, "Hey, have you heard this?" And he, you know, hands me an advanced cassette of Everything Sucks, and I'm like, "What is this?" He's like, "New Descendants album." I'm like, "What?" And Roger and I popped it in and just were mesmerized, you know, and went out and bought it the next day, and probably listened to it a thousand times on subsequent tours after that. But my fourth pick comes from the Cool to Be You record from 2004. This was an album they released on Fat. Nothing With You is a song Milo wrote that I love. Maddie is a song about Bill's stepdaughter that's heart-wrenching, that is a great song. Milo's got another one here called Tack, the 12th song that is awesome. There's something about the snarl and piss and vinegar in his voice on that track that I just love. But the song I picked, my fourth favorite Descendants song, is One More Day by Bill Stevenson that we talked about with him on our show.
I can't get anywhere pretending that I don't care, lying to everyone I see, when the only thing I needed was one more day like yesterday. I pick you up and put me down.
Yeah, it's hard not to put that one on the list after that episode. Melodically and musically, the song is awesome, but then when you hear the story behind it, yeah, it's pretty dumb I left that one off my list. Maybe why I did is just because it's just so sad. You know, I after hearing Bill talk about it, you know, I feel like the music's uplifting, but the story is amazing. I think that's a great choice.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, this song, as if I could even love it more. But, you know, for the listeners, Chris is always on these episodes. I think you've missed like two where you had a prior engagements where you couldn't be on the episode. He's always in the wings in the back taking notes so we can do our wrap up afterwards. This particular one, I can't recall the exact reason why.
It was because of Bill's, something with Bill's audio. So you guys had to do it over the phone.
That's
so
right.
You guys both had a mic set up, and then you just basically had your phones on speaker or something because it was something with Zoom or whatever.
Yeah, we were each listening in headphones from our phones so it wouldn't bleed through the mics. That's right. That's what happened. And I get done with this episode, and I remember calling you, and I just said, man, I feel like Barbara Walters. I just got the Pulitzer Prize. I got like the best interview ever. Like, this is just...
Right.
Heart-wrenching. There was moments where I was choked up. Obviously, Bill was was very emotional. But I loved this song before then. This is one of those tracks I mentioned earlier, Chris, that I don't think could have been recorded back in 1982 or 83. They weren't ready. They weren't mature enough. They hadn't lived enough life yet to write a song like this.
I've said it before. I'll say it again a million times. The thing that's cool about the Descendants is, you listen to Descendants and All. That's a good point you brought up that, yeah, the Descendants came back and they had this amazing album, but the three out of the four guys never stopped. They'd been recording album after album after album and getting better and better at their craft. So yeah, it's a giant lift in every aspect when they come back, but that was a gradual process from album to album for three out of the four of them. The thing that I was going to say about Descendants and All is you hear the things they're singing about in their lyrics being things you experience as you progress through life. So yeah, you go back to the songs from 1982 and they're singing about, you know, sleeping on floors and singing about their van and silly things. And then you fast forward 25, 30 years and they're singing about things that you experience when you're in your 30s and 40s and 50s, divorce and losing parents. And I think that's a really awesome thing about this band.
Oh yeah, they've always wore their hearts on their sleeves. They tell it like it is, and that's why they have such a rabid fan base that connects with these lyrics. And you know, jumping back to what you were saying a moment ago of what I was talking about earlier with the whole All thing, you know, for the listeners, you should go check out it's all over YouTube, the Everything Sucks demos. Chad Price from All, the third singer in All, Chad sang on most of the demos on that album.
Wow.
which is unreal. Milo basically just went in and re-recorded a lot of that. So a lot of those songs were to be the next All album after Pummel, and they ended up being on Everything Sucks. So it just goes to show you how interchangeable really the bands were. You know, they were kind of at some point, I think Milo might even have mentioned his episode that I think it was like 1993, Chad lost his voice and they were in New Jersey somewhere and he sang, he went and sang a show for All, you know, and the fans just went nuts. I think it was at City Gardens in Jersey. So they've always been interchanged and I love both bands equally. I know that's sacrilegious to some Descendants fans, but I love both bands. My fifth and final pick, Chris, came from their 2016 album, Hypercaffeum Spazinate. A couple songs on this record are cool. Victim of Me, which was the music was written by Stefan, lyrics by Bill. Shameless Halo, again, music by Stefan, but Carl wrote the lyrics on that one. And my fifth pick, my fifth favorite Descendants song, is a song that Bill and Stefan wrote the music to, but Bill wrote the lyrics. It's called Without Love.
Another day goes by, we can't live like this anymore, can't live without love. Another year goes by, we can't live like this anymore, can't live without love.
That's a good one. I forgot about that one. I didn't even come that recent when I was thinking of my list. I don't think it'd be in my top five, but that's a great one, man.
Yeah, that song is awesome. And honorable mention, they released a record last July, 2021, of songs that were recorded in 2002 when Tony Lombardo was still alive. It's called Ninth and Walnut, and they finished the album. Milo went back in and sang it. It was a lot of old ideas, unfinished songs from back in the day that they, in 2002, went and recorded. I think the foundation of these songs, maybe bass, drums, and guitar, went in and finished them and released it. I heard a song called Sailor's Choice. It's the first song off the record. I believe Tony wrote it and was pretty cool, but I never got into the record. I just haven't listened to it. I was recently on a UK tour and Roger brought up, have you listened to Ninth and Wall? And he's like, dude, it might be my favorite Descendants record. It is awesome. So now I'm stoked. Wow. to go dive back into to that album, and maybe it'll displace one of my five here. But Without Love, man, this song might be my favorite Descendants song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're, you know, and you said it a moment ago, they have run the gamut over the years, from songs about their van to you know, silly songs to the All Logistics, all these, you know, songs about farting and other things, just juvenile stuff, to songs about loss and love and hope. And this song, there's something about the minor chord structure that Stefan plays here. It just gives me a lump in my throat. It just makes me sad without even hearing one lyric of the song. Absolutely love this song. It's like I said, probably my favorite Descendants tune.
It goes without saying that we could add so many more songs to this list.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier that you like both bands equally, and I don't know if this is sacrilegious, but I lean all, actually. Like, and that, you know, that's probably just because I discovered all before I discovered the Descendants. Mm-hmm. you know, all when I was at an impressionable age, all Pummel came out. And, you know, I was exposed to it because of 120 Minutes. So that, it was kind of like I discovered all first, and then I went back and listened to Descendants. So maybe that's why, I don't know. Obviously, it's mostly the same band, but I think I might like more all songs. But both of them, I consider them all one big thing, and it's so many good songs.
Yeah, and for the listeners, if you haven't checked out All, go check them out. They're absolutely amazing. And I actually saw All first in 1992. Didn't see Descendants until we played with them opening night in Minneapolis of that tour in 97, and was, you know, just blown away. And then, of course, after that, we ended up doing more touring with All. We toured with All more than we ever did with Descendants. Did a bunch of runs with them, and always been a blast.
I saw you at Club Laga on that tour.
Yeah, yeah. It was great, great memories. So anyways, man, yeah, this has been a lot of fun going down memory lane. It was awesome having Milo on. He was so much fun to talk to. And maybe, like I said, maybe we'll get Stefan next. Talk about Everything Sucks.
I'd love it. Well, we stuck to our word there with getting Stefan on to talk about Everything Sucks. I hope you all enjoyed that sneak preview episode of The After Party. Don't forget to check out chrisdemakes.com. It goes without saying that all the episodes of The After Party are all ad-free when you join our supporting cast. I hope you all have a great day, and let's all try to avoid beating any dead horses.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.